So as always, I want to thank God for each and every one of you. I want to thank God for Joshua and Elaine. And as always, your friendship and your leadership in this house is greatly appreciated. So praise God. That song, who's never heard it before? Yeah. Wow. Not too many of us. Oh, the real belt. I heard that song first time when it came out in June 1967. I was 17 years old. And when I heard that song, the reaction was, of course, it ain't never going to happen to me. Yeah. Well, here I am, praise God, living proof that when you get to 64, I hope something's happened between 17 and 64. And so I just wanted to use this as a sort of a lighthearted but nevertheless serious look. This morning I got a lot of Facebooks and texts and emails. My favorite coming from my friend Philip Smethers. Of all things, I haven't seen Phil since January. I probably won't see him for the rest of this year. You know, that's the kind of relationship we have. I've known Philip for like 23, 24 years. But his email, he just sent it from Africa, it just said, and I was so shocked to get this from Philip. It said, I love you. Glad you were born. I thought that was pretty cool, eh, from a friend. So anyway, when I'm 64, hallelujah, like we were just saying, and I got married on my birthday because before I was saved, I used to despise marriage with a passion. And I remember saying that even as a non-believer, you know, I ain't getting married till I'm 30, you know. Sure enough, I got married on my 30th birthday. So, it was a shame to leave it so late. And I want to encourage you about marriage. There are no actual rules about when is a good time to get married. I'm getting emails all the time from my daughter in India. Those of you, most of us know Alice and her husband, Abraham. Well, she got married at 32 years old. My eldest son got married at 19. And they've all had their own kinds of problems, if you understand what I'm saying. Getting married at 19, they loved each other, but they didn't have a stinking clue what was going on in their lives. And what do you know what I'm talking about? First thing you got to do when you're young is realize you're young. Try and get that. Try and grasp that. You know, I haven't walked the earth for long. In fact, I spent most of it sitting in class. So therefore, there's a lot of things you don't know yet about very ordinary things. And one of my favorite stories was a couple that got married about that age. Wonderful couple. They called me one Friday night and said, you know, oh, we're having a problem with our marriage. And it sounded like, you know, it was World War Z going on. And so what happened was I said, well, I'm watching a game of rugby in the morning. If you want to come and sit with me and talk. I said, as long as you don't want me to look at you while I'm talking, obviously, I'm not going to let their marriage spoil my rugby game. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'd like to remind you that your marriages don't spoil my day. Anyway, and they came round and they had two questions, of which I remember neither, but without looking at them, I just remember saying, oh, that happens to everybody. And that was the end of the council. They thought their life was falling apart, but they were just 19. Hallelujah. And even if you get married later, I often wonder when it comes to marriage, you don't actually know any more than if you had got married when you were a kid. Because these things, these rules, these regulations aren't written very clearly. They're not written very clearly, certainly not in the books that you can get from your psychiatrists and your psychologists and your social studies. The most important thing, of course, is to read the Bible and the fact that we know that marriage is based on the very secret ingredient called love. And it's much more than that, though. Because love, the most ill-defined word in the world, I'm not just going to say in the English language, it's such an ill-defined word. I haven't yet found a good even paragraph that would try and describe it. I find that the paragraph in 1 Corinthians 13 is still lacking when it comes to really describing what love is. This morning, while they were talking about the scriptures out of the Song of Solomon, and trust me, you should have been listening to that this morning. because there ain't none of that in 1 Corinthians 13. Hallelujah. And, you know, because in Song of Solomon, it was saying love is passionate, love is fiery, love is abandonment, love is... Anyway, I told you should have been there. Wouldn't you agree, Josh? That was something, eh? I enjoyed it. I wasn't having a problem with it. So anyway, when I'm 64, trust me, some of you have gone past it. And I want to, of course, acknowledge those of you that are older than me and have been walking the earth longer than me. And, of course, I particularly want to acknowledge Wendy's father, Steve, who's with us this morning, celebrating 82 years he's been walking the earth. And, of course, he also can impart much about the mystery of marriage. And the Bible does call it a marriage. The reality is this song I thought was such a good song, written, of course, by the most famous group in the world. And it was on their album, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. If you think about it, how many people in this world are part of that band? Lonely Hearts. Single people, married people, lonely hearts. See, one of the things I have found out over the years about marriage is that I've seen people who are also just as married as maybe I am in years, but they're still part of the Lonely Hearts Club band. Because they really haven't done what is necessary and is actually available in the covenant of marriage to, after all these years that you've been together, have actually found what it means to become one. You actually haven't discovered that... even I'm older, losing my hair, not many years from now, today in fact. Thank God for Rogaine, by the way. Worked for me, I don't know about you. No, it really did. I'm not on commission, but it worked for me, praise God. Look, it ain't too bad for 64, hallelujah. The scripture that came to mind when I began to think about this, I'll read it to you, and if you're making notes, it's in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. There is nothing more important on this subject than understanding that you have to buy the field. You have to buy the field. You can't buy, I mean, this scripture clearly says that a man for joy, he found that treasure and hid it. You know, and there is an element of that. You hide your spouse in your heart. You hide your spouse in the secret place of the Most High. There is an element of hiding your spouse in the mystery of marriage, but it won't do anything for you unless you are prepared to buy the whole field. There's a line in the song where it says, and you will be older too. Yeah, what, Wendy was 19 when I met her. She's now not 19. Things change. We've known each other 39 years. 39 years ago, I was an extremely fit, strong, healthy young man, rugby player, full of life, full of energy, full of chat. But that was 39 years ago. Now, my wife has hardly changed, but I've changed a lot. Hallelujah. You see, and if you don't buy the field, if you don't learn to buy the field, then no matter how you walk in this life, you're never going to fully understand that when you get to a certain age, marriage undeniably gets better. The Bible says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Now, according to what we saw this morning on the Song of Solomon, talking about the honeymoon, all I can say is then obviously the honeymoon is the worst part of marriage because it says better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. So I want you to think about what I'm saying. Those of you that have been married and you've experienced honeymoon, whether it was just the event or whether it was a period of time, whether it was a year or two or five or whatever it was, the reality is the scripture is very clear. The way of the wise winds upwards. So therefore, marriage absolutely gets better. It absolutely gets better. That the honeymoon is actually a part that in that moment of passion, you may be throwing yourself into each other without any discrimination or thought of the consequences. But the reality is marriage gets better if there's one thing that you do. So the next line, it goes on, when I get older, losing my hair, many years from now. Don't forget that part. Many years from now. Many years from now. How many of you have got a thought pattern of many years from now? Or you're just living week to week? You're just living paycheck to paycheck? Are you just living a life where you're getting through this week, this month, where the only plan you have is your next vacation or Thanksgiving? Well, not yet. Maybe you start thinking about that in October, and maybe then you start thinking about Christmas. But I'm not talking about that. That's just going through life. That's just plodding along. I'm talking about many years from now. I'm talking to you folks who are a little younger than me. How's your life insurance, your health insurance? How are your savings? How's your pension? I like talking about pension because my personal testimony, when I started work the week after I turned 16, I went to this nasty place to work in this horrible, as I call it, dark, dank Dickensian factory. It's just a nice one-liner. And so what happened is they wanted me to join the pension plan. I said, I ain't joining that. They said, well, you've got no choice. It's compulsory. I said, I'm 16. Can't you pay me a pension till I'm 25 and then I'll work till I die? Because I had all the energy then. You know, I had the energy to live. Why do I want to have money when I'm too old to do anything? Did I say that out loud? So I'm just a kid. Well, I found out a couple of weeks ago that when I'm 65, a year from today, England's going to give me £50 a week. Hallelujah. I left when I was 25, so that's pretty impressive. So that's over $300 a month am I going to get from England, because at least they thought many years from now. What do we forget? The reality is, you see, I was too young to think many years from now. But if you listen to people who are going to say many years from now, when you're my age, you'll have a little da-da-da-da-da in your life instead of, oh my God, how am I going to get through the bills this month? And that is a problem. I'm sorry, it's a problem to me for people whose future is just a dark void, whose future is something, you know. Today I got my birthday greeting from my son-in-law, Xavier, who's sitting at the back, my official firstborn brown son, as he actually is how he signed the post. He said, happy birthday, father, and he spells it F-A-T-H-A, father. Now, all my children have all just come. Thank you for being here. So that's all my, except my daughter, who obviously is in India, and my other son goes to church north of here. The reality is, he said, I'm looking forward to church today and your words of wisdom. He wasn't looking for a fiery sermon, which I still think in some degree I'm capable of doing. But there's the words of wisdom that you need to come from a man once he's begun to get enough gray hair and enough years under his belt. A man who's walked the earth for over 60 years, who's been to, as you know, over 80 nations, who's had 5 children born on 5 continents, planted churches, living a debt-free life, and I'm actually more in love with my wife than when I first met her. This is why one of the great frustrations of old people is young people. You're just rotten, lousy listeners. Hallelujah. You're such a bunch of smart Alex. You got all the answers. Trust me, you want me to predict how broke you're going to be when you're my age? Because I'm watching some of your patterns already. Wendy was reading a thing from, is it AARP? AARP, the, right? She said, there are people who are retiring and still have college debt. What a mind-blowing thought. Many years from now. See, what happens is we're not thinking that way. We're not actually applying our thoughts at the right age for our future. Wendy and I went out to dinner last night to one of the better restaurants in town. I'd say most of us would agree. You probably, some of you may have seen it. It's called Five Guys. Was named after my family, and so was named after David and his five stones in his belt. But anyway, so we went out to the restaurant, and afterwards we decided, well, we really need dessert to cap off this culinary delight. As Joshua's already been talking about it, you know, we didn't even have to dress up too much or speak English properly. Just in case you think I wasn't listening. So what we did is we did a death-defying stunt and we crossed the road at 64. But I still hold a hand. I still feel responsible for her safety. And we went to Burger King, which obviously it isn't, because Five Guys is the Burger King, but that's not the point. Because they had 50-cent ice cream cones. So we really know how to celebrate. And we know how to be debt-free at 64 because we don't have to spend a lot of money to have a good time. So as we're munching on our 50-cent cones, I said, Wendy, let's do something we almost never do. She said, what's that? I said, reminisce. Let's talk about all our years together. Okay, what you got in mind? Don't know, really. You mean some of our traveling or the children or... I don't know. Because my mind and my heart is full of India. I'm still thinking about my future, not my past. Wendy and I almost never reminisce. We almost never say, do you remember the time that? Because better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. You see, reminiscing is for people with no vision. There's nothing wrong to have a landmark. Don't get me wrong. Landmarks are essential in your life. Remember, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The blood of the Lamb is the cross. The word of their testimony is your landmark of faith. We have many landmarks in our life. When they crossed the Jordan, we know that they said, bring every tribe, bring a stone and build a landmark. Landmarks are really your pointer to the future, or as Brother Rich calls them, stepping stones. And I want to ask you, how are your landmarks doing? Are you building your landmarks? We just heard of a landmark this morning that years from now, we'll hear a story. Oh, when our first baby was born and everybody else was getting cut in their wages and their hours, God gave me a 15% increase landmark. What are your landmarks? What are you pointed at? We were in a situation where we didn't know what the future was, but there, God worked for us. There is our landmark. You see, and you can't trust the systems of this world. Pastor Josh and I were having a conversation this week that actually stirred my heart very much that I'm resisting to preach on it this morning because I don't yet think it's cooked. And that is, he's saying it with a smile, but... And I need just show you one of my birthday presents this morning because I'm wearing it now. And it was given to me by some precious friends of mine just this morning with a happy birthday and a smile. It says, this guy loves America. Hallelujah. Nice, eh? Nice T-shirt. But trust me, we're done. When you're 64... this country is going to be completely unrecognizable. And if you don't have the most important thing in your life to add to your love, and that is vision, your future is not going to make it. I thought it would change the tone a little bit. What is your future? What is your vision? Where are you going? I really don't care where I've been. And I've been. But where I'm going is the most important thing. All I can think of, I was talking to, when I went to the conference of Pastor Andy Elms about 5 or 6 weeks ago, where many of us were up there. I remember the Holy Spirit clearly spoke to me and ministered deep places of my heart, the deep recesses of my heart. And I remember saying, the two things that give me the most joy in my life is Kingsfire Church and India. And they're both future. My memories aren't tied up in Kingsfire Church. I'm not thinking about what used to be and what it used to be like. I'm thinking about where are we going? What are we doing? How are things moving forward? That's what I'm thinking about when I'm 64. And I just want to encourage each and every, what is your vision? Where are you going? I started preaching, and you all know it, but I'm going to say it again because so many young people have got such rotten hearing. I've got a new name for people, not just young people, everybody. You know, as a member of the fivefold ministry, the Bible says you cannot muzzle the ox that treads the corn. And it talks about, in the old days, remember, harvest time, they put all the harvest and whatever grain they had in the threshing floor, and they used to have ox that used to tread it. And the ox used to drag a threshing sledge, right, Rich? Which I really don't want to talk about this morning, because I saw some photographs of it. Anyway, and the idea of it is to break up the wheat from the chaff. You know, the chaff is around the useful part. Well, this is why the Bible says that be transformed by the renewing of your mind, is you have to get the chaff off of your thoughts, which is why I call people chaff heads. I just thought it was a nice name, because when somebody's a chaff head, they're still thinking useless. They're still thinking the part of their life that actually is designed to be thrown away. Because after this wheat and the chaff is separated, Jesus comes in, according to Matthew, with his winnowing fork and throws it in the air, and the Holy Spirit blows the chaff away. But that doesn't happen unless somebody helps to bring words of wisdom into your life, which we, of course, so often duly ignore. And as I've often said, facetiously, but I don't really care, because I'm 64, I'd still like to know the university degree you can get for wisdom. Who here has got a degree without taking a philosophy course? And yet the Bible says, beware of philosophy and empty deceit. It's chaff. And chaff is the problem with stopping us from letting the true content that makes the bread of life coming out of the hidden portion of our creation. And so I want to encourage you. Allow somebody to help you separate the wheat from the chaff. One of the things I have to say for conscience sake, I've already mentioned it, but now I need to be a little more pointed. Please, educate your children as much and as strongly you can about the danger of college debt. Now, when we had, what's it called, our Freedom University, Financial Freedom University, is run by Chris Politeo. We're doing another course soon. I don't know if, Brother Sheldon's going to be leading that. It's an excellent curriculum. And when we discovered that the number one debt in the church is college debt, I'm horrified by that. Horrified by it. You can go to Ulster County Community College. I was talking to Tom the other day, Tom Segretti, you just spoke. He got his degree from RPI. Now, RPI is one of the better schools in the whole, probably the whole country when it comes to what it. And yet, what did he do for the first 2 years? Went to UCC. He went to UCC and got all his bits and pieces out of the way, then transferred it to SUNY school. SUNY credits will go to, and boom, he only had to 2 years college instead of four. See, everybody knows that. But somehow we don't do that. And we end up with these long debts. I'm only saying this. Some of you got a plan. You got enough help to get you through. You got enough, financial aid, scholarships. But if you don't, seriously think about what you're doing. It's one of the huge debts. You're really giving me a hard time now, aren't you? But I want you to really listen to what I'm saying. What are you doing to get... For instance, when we couldn't afford it, my wife and I, when we couldn't afford it, we didn't do it. Boy, what an old-fashioned idea. When Xavier and Sarah started talking about moving to Florida, and I know their financial situation obviously very well because they're very open with it to me. And I said, listen, from here on in, brown bag everything. No more going to KVD. You can't afford it. Forget Kings Valley Diner. In fact, forget Five Guys. Two hamburgers and fries, $14. But it's worth it, hallelujah. But only when you got it. Why do you think they play oldies in burger in Five Guys all the time? Because only boomers can afford to eat there. But I want you to hear what I'm saying. You should be brown bagging everything. The amount of money. Do you know how much breakfast, lunch, and dinner cost you? You know how much money we spend? The three things you need a vision for, and you've heard me say it so many times, you must be tired of it, but are you living it yet? The three things: your marriage, your money, and your ministry. Your marriage, your money, and your ministry. Say it. Your marriage, your money, and your ministry. One more time for you ventriloquists. Your marriage, your money, and your ministry. And the last time, your marriage, your money, and your ministry. If you're single, you need to understand what that means. If you're divorced, you need to understand what that means. If you're widowed or widower, you need to understand what that means. If you're married, you need to understand what that means. If your marriage is on the rocks and is not working and it's just lousy, to be quite honest, and you're emotionally divorced, then find out what marriage is all about and do something about it. Amen. I like that line about mending a fuse. How does it go? Hang on, I had it here a minute ago. All right, forget it. About mending a fuse when your lights are gone. You realize that as you change age groups, you have to keep changing the fuse because there's different amps involved. Now, come on, don't give me a hard time. I don't care what your name is. I don't care how much you think you're Caleb. You are deceived. If you're one of these people with heretical, bad theology that you're going to live to 120, give me one New Covenant scripture for that. 70. 80 for strength. That's it. Right? That's what the New Testament teaches. All these, oh, I'm going to live to 120. I've never met that person yet. And I've met more people than you have. The reality is there's this strange thing that gets in the put. See, when you get older, what happens is you have to learn the fuse box changes amps. And guess who's going to change them? The husband. It's the husband's job. It's the husband's job to dwell with your wife with understanding. It's your husband's job. It's his job to say, okay, well, I used to be 25, rugby player, fit, strong, healthy, full of testosterone with a little ego and all the rest thrown in. But then, when I'm 64 and all the decades in between, you've got to learn and understand what adjustments do you have to make. Are you still trying to live a life of when you first got married? All I can say is, more fool you! You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't expect your marriage to be... It says, rejoice with the wife of your youth. I know what you're going to say. Oh, I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm renewing my strength. I'm rising up. No, you ain't. I pastor this church. Come on. Adjustments. Are you adjusting your life? Are you adjusting your love life? Are you adjusting your finances? Are you adjusting? See, my wife and I, we went through our seasons, as you know, the pre-poor days when we were so poor that we thought only wealthy people could go to McDonald's. And then there was the poor days when we could go to McDonald's but only cut a hamburger in half to give to the boys. And then there were the days of enough when things began to work out nice. And now we're living in the days of abundance. But too many people in their pre-poor days think they're living a life of abundance and they wonder why they're getting debt. See, it's mind-blowing to me. When you come out of college, you do not have the right to have a five-bedroom house with a pool next week. The biggest danger in your life are these hush puppies. I've never paid a nickel or a dime interest late charges on one of these in the 20 years I've been using them. Never. In fact, this credit card gives me free points to stay in hotels, which I take my bride to. This credit card gives me double air miles. Why? Because when we couldn't afford it, we didn't. And we brown bagged. Do you understand what I'm saying? I notice our people, young people, they love KVD. Now, I understand most of you got good jobs and you work hard, and I appreciate that, and the fellowship is awesome. But all I'm saying is if you can afford KVD, fine. But if you can't, don't. Begin to figure it out. Just because other people, I mean, when I started my apprenticeship at 16, I was the lowest paid person I knew. And it obviously really ground in my esteem and everything else. But I learned. Do you know that from when I was 14 years old, did my first job pumping gas, that I would live off the tips, not like New Jersey here, you had to use the tip people in England. I'd live off the tips and save the money that they paid me at 14. So when I was 16, I bought my first motorbike, cash, still saving. So when I was 17, bought my first car, cash. So et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When I went to South Africa at 25 years old, I didn't go broke. I had money. And when I got there, I didn't use the money that I took with me. I got a job, and there was still a little drawer where I used to live with cash in it. Because every week I'd put some little amount of cash and put it in that drawer and live according to the rest. And if I couldn't afford it, I didn't. Now, you say that's old school. No, it's called when I'm 64. That's what it's called. It's called when I'm 64. I don't want to go into war again. I don't want to start battling for my finances. I don't want to start battling over my marriage. I don't want to fight my children. We don't do that anymore. We worked it. We made sure that our progression, why? Because we had a vision primarily for our marriage. You ask the children, three of them, my children and their spouses are here. Ask them. They all know that I always put their mother before them. They all know that the vision for the marriage was what the vision for them came out of. And as soon as the children come along, you cannot neglect your spouse. You cannot allow your child to become the priority. Because if the child is the fruit of your love for your spouse, then surely the love for your spouse is the root of that fruit. And you have to stick with that. And if you're divorced, and I know the pain, I don't personally know, but I know what divorce, what pain it produces. Forgiveness. If I come home at 2:45, will you lock the door? And I've been realizing that. I thought, well, obviously, I never come home at 2:45. Well, actually, I did the other day because the flight was delayed from Arizona. But anyway, it was actually only 2:55. But the reality is how's your forgiveness doing? How's your forgiveness? Those of you that have been torn apart by tragedy in life, ripped to shreds the way life has used you and abused you. Life is not fair. Man is fickle. There's that line that that I was looking at, it says this: you'll be older too. And if you say the word, I could stay with you. And I realized that staying together is all about words. It's as much as my first love language is touch. It's all about words. It's all about, are you willing to embrace this treasure with words for the rest of your life? And then they should stay okay. Now, I understand that people are unfaithful, disloyal, deceived. But you realize that even after a broken heart, the only way to move forward is through forgiveness. 70 times 7. I still struggle with that scripture. How many times must I forgive my brother? 7 times? No, Jesus said 70 times 7. Oh, God, are you sure? Are you sure? It's the only way. There are not two other ways. It doesn't come by a prenup. It doesn't come by time. I think I told you the story about the guy I spoke to with the gun in Five Guys down in... Yeah, there's more than one. Five Guys in Tucson. The guy that had the Marine emblem on his clip. Did I tell you this last week? I did, didn't I? And I remember saying to him, time is not a healer. It is not a healer. Only Jesus is a healer. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Listen, if somebody left you, they don't know what they were doing. Now, I've never said that before. But it's the truth. They were deceived. They were blinded by the god of this world. If you were let down by a parent, by a pastor, by a spouse, there was deception going on. Of course, if we weren't saved, we weren't saved. That's another story. But those of us that have suffered brokenness, it's because somewhere there was not the right word spoken at the right time. And there was something kept in our heart and it began to fester or fester in their heart. And the root of bitterness took place and it rose up and defiled many. There's no denying what the word says. There's no denying it. There is no other alternative. There is no amount of gossip. There is no amount of self-justification to be able to explain what a dog the other person was. If it was 99% their fault, the 1% that it was your fault, you were 100% wrong. And that's the other part of healing, repentance. Whatever part you were wrong, repent. Whatever part they were wrong, forgive. Repent, forgive, repent, forgive. It's the only answer. It's the only answer to be able to get to a place in your life where you're not mad at this world, where you don't have a root of bitterness, where there isn't something inside, where you don't live in the if-onlys, where you're not, I wish I'd. I have got no wish-ides in my life. Most miserable tribe in Africa, the wish-ides. The wish-ides. I wish I'd done that, and I wish I'd done that. Well, you didn't. And there's no back to the future in case you didn't know that. Huh? Do some of you think you have some kind of flux capacitor that you can figure your life out by living it again? No, the past is gone. Forgive, repent, move on. Hallelujah. Or your future is going to be lame. Got all this from a Beatles song, by the way. Can you imagine? Do you remember what Pastor Josh said about guys with a stick and a ball change the atmosphere of tens of thousands of people? Well, how much did four guys with three guitars and a drum change the world? They were together, actually, in the limelight for less than 8 years. Sold more records than anybody in history. And influenced the world. They brought about a revolution that even Mao Zedong couldn't do. They changed the world. And so much of their early days were, I wanna hold your hands. Pretty. Sweet. Who doesn't want to hold it? I held my wife's hand yesterday crossing the road. It was sweet. Give me a hand. Come on. Follow me. sweet. She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I tell you what, I can't sing the songs that they recorded in the 69 and 70 because I don't know what a Jabberwocky is. And I'm certainly not interested in Eleanor Rigby, the miserable old. They changed the world. They chaffed it. They chaffed it. All right, I'm going to tie this up. Marriage, money, and ministry. The one part I do like, and I want to take a couple of minutes on, it goes, Sunday morning, go for a ride. If you think going over the hills, camping here and there, that's not going to get you blessed like going to church. See, your Sunday morning going for a ride has got to be here. And your Wednesday evening going for a ride has got to be at the Ray's house group or your Tuesday or Monday or Gary. You know what I'm saying? If you're not doing that, you can think what you... Oh, we don't have time to go to home groups. You don't have time not to. You don't have time not to. What do you call quality time together? It ain't Five Guys. Boy, I was hungry. I just come from the gym, man. Anyway, can you hear what I'm saying? You can't afford not to go to a home group. Because it's at the home group that people begin to help you with your vision. They begin to help you and teach you and encourage you and communicate. Just say the word and I'll stay. Just say the word and I'll stay. We can't do that Sunday mornings. This is a time when we have to speak to everybody together. But when you go to the home group, that's when you begin to get the words that minister to you. When the leaders of the home group are asking you, how's your day? What's going on? They begin to learn about your marriage. They begin to understand how to pray for your finances. They begin to help you with your vision because you're sometimes not been listening to the guys with gray hair that tell you that you've got to understand about marriage, money, and ministry, or you're not going to make it. See, unlike meatloaf, where 2 out of 3 ain't bad, he needs some ketchup in his ear. 2 out of 3 won't work. You've got to get all three on this puppy. You've got to understand life when it comes to what does it mean about marriage, whether you're single, married, or divorced, or widowed. You have to understand. The Bible talks about all of it. And if you are only approaching that element of life philosophically, it will fail. You've got to understand money. You heard James stand here clearly and say he was tempted, almost fearful, to not pay his tithe. But what did he say to his wife before the first baby came? Honey, this is the most important check that I write every week. Because he realizes that his future is dependent on what he sows today. How many times have you heard, oh yeah, when I get a big raise, I'm going to enjoy giving? No. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? If you're not tithing and giving with what you have, then what you have is all you're going to get. Because part of the reason for tithing is it rebukes the devourer that devours your stuff. All right, ministry. I'm not going to labor this one, but I'm just going to say, what is your ministry? Could you write it down on a piece of paper for me, please? Oh, I'm a witness wherever I go. Been there, heard that. What's your ministry? Are you part of the food pantry? You're part of the cleaning crew? You're part of the prison ministry? The jail ministry? You're part of the setup ministry in Saugerties? But I don't go to Saugerties. Well, you should sometime and help with the setup and breakdown. You should do these things because it's part of what this house is. It's part of who we are. It's part of how we work. And I want to encourage you. That's pretty much what I want to say. Actually, it's not. There's a load more. But all I'm going to talk about, and in wrapping it up, is Joshua just spoke about a casual life. But America, of all places, we take life very, very casually. And we think things are going to change casually. No, it doesn't. The scripture says we need to take heed to the word we've heard, lest we drift away. The kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That we must press on towards the prize. There is no casual enjoying the latter part of your life. There is no casual approach to it. The best time to plant a tree is when you're 17. But if not, then it's today. And I want to encourage all of you, start planning. We will scrimp and save, it said in that song. And my wife knew how to scrimp and save. And now we're thankful that God allowed us to get enough wisdom to focus on our marriage, our money, and our ministry. And I want to say this in closing. So many of you, I don't know why, men, I'm going to say it emphatically, are too stinking proud to ask for help, which has to reflect in your marriage. It has to reflect in your finances. It has to. If you don't know what you're doing, you don't know, then ask for help. Amen? Ask for help. Ladies, I'm including you now. Ask for help. I'm not the smartest guy or the sharpest knife in the drawer. But I tell you something. I have walked the earth for over 70 years. And I've learned a few things from when I'm 17 to I'm 64. Hallelujah. Wendy, I want to thank you for saying yes when I asked you to marry me, even though I didn't ask you in a very romantic way. I was going to say that to you last night, but I thought it seems a better time to say it now. Thank you for saying yes to this guy. I know I haven't been an easy guy to live with. I understand that. But now we're living off the fruit of our plans, our dreams, and everything that was before us. I booked her ticket to India this week. I booked my ticket to India this week. We booked Grace's ticket to India this week. You see, because when I was 17, or when I got born again, I began to realize one day I'm going to be 64. Can you say amen? Amen? Father, I just want to thank you for these awesome people. And I hope something I've said, whether it's been encouragement or even a rebuke and a reproof to those who need to know more and more about forgiveness, more and more about repentance, more and more about planning and vision. I want to thank you, Lord, for each and every one of the people in here, that it's not too late to do something about what isn't going right. And Father, I pray that we're never going to be too proud to communicate our need with other people, because that's what you died for, that we could have this kind of fellowship. Let's all stand together. I've only been trying to communicate some landmarks in my life. Yeah, we've struggled, we've gone through things, but I want to tell you something. In 39 years, the D word has never been in my or my wife's lips. I thank God for that. I thank God that part of what held us together is we held fast to a good confession. And I want each and every one of us to begin to learn what does it mean to hold fast to a good confession. But you can't have a good confession and bitterness in your heart. You can't have a good confession and unforgiveness in your spirit. You can't. They'll contradict each other. Because the scripture says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. So let's close our eyes this morning. And I want us to begin to let God search our hearts. Is there anything in there today that you can dig out and give to the Lord some forgiveness? I don't know. Like I say, it's often a parent. Mine was a school teacher. A school teacher, when I was 11 years old, shut me down so tight that it never opened up again until years later when I realized that I wasn't who he said I was. But it's forgiven. He didn't know what he was doing. Who hurt you? Who bruised you? Who stopped you from becoming everything that God wanted you to be? What's stopping you from saying better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof? I'm sorry some of you have had broken hearts, but I'm also speaking to those that if you don't make some adjustments and change the amperage of your fuse box, you're also going to have a broken heart. So Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for the goodness and mercy that you show us. Let's all lift our hands one more time and say, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the gift of life. I thank you, Lord, that you gave us grace. You gave us grace to forgive, grace to forget. But above all else, you gave us the grace to love and the grace to plan. And I thank you for my future. I thank you for my future. You have a great plan for me. And I'm going to move towards it, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching out to that which is before. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand.